Welcome to the Bible Story Podcast.
Welcome to all our wonderful viewers or listeners, I guess. You cannot see us at the moment, so thank you for tuning in with your ears. We are so grateful to have the opportunity to share this experience with you.
Yes, indeed we are. And soon enough, we will have a short trailer for people to see. So technically, Braden, they can be viewers.
Okay, technically, sure. Yes, they can be. We also have a picture around there on the internet floating with our faces in the Bible Story Podcast name. So it's really sweet. And our video or pictures never make us look dorky at all.
Braden, for real, I'm a 40-year-old dad. I'm the definition of dorky.
I'm a 27-year-old hipster. I'm pretty dorky, too.
Actually, I'm a 41-year-old dad. So Whoa! How dorky is that? I even messed up my age.
Such a dad thing. Yeah. Okay. Well, today is October 26th when this is launched, which means 1 week from today, 7 days, 168 hours, and a bunch of minutes from now, we will be releasing an episode with some very exciting summer camp announcements on it.
That's right. And by the way, great math on all those numbers.
Thank you.
For those of you who have just been joining us for the last little while, Braden and I worked together at a children's summer camp in Alberta, Canada. Now, the podcast was born out of that, but it has been so cool to be able to reach people outside of that camp bubble.
Yeah, it's been very encouraging finding out how far this podcast has gone in terms of countries and people listening and just different areas. I love it.
All right. Well, today's story teaches us that no one is beyond reach.
It's true. John, you are never out of my reach. You're right there.
Yes. I understand completely what you're thinking, but we really have to work on your understanding of a personal bubble.
Yeah, no, I don't know what that is. So what do you mean by out of reach? Are you talking like for other people?
No. In this case, what we are speaking about is the love of God.
Okay. I think I get it. I mean, I often have friends that would say if they were to enter a church, they'd be sent away or told to leave or burst into flames. In saying that they've done something so wrong or terrible that it's somehow outside of the reach of God's forgiveness.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're referring to. And that's just simply not true. It's not the case.
I mean, we know from Scripture that God sent Jesus, his only son, to die for the sins of everybody, every single person, past, present, and future.
You know, and that is the most remarkable thing I can think of.
Absolutely.
So today we're going to see God reach someone who would have been considered evil and wicked, even by today's standards.
So this man goes by the name of Saul, and at this point in the story, he was really well known for hating Christians, for persecuting them, for specifically picking them out and choosing to hurt them or even kill them.
Like I said, wicked and evil.
Yeah.
Even by today's standards.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like Saul would be a pretty hard guy to forgive. He's actively seeking out the destruction and the hurt of God's followers.
Well, he is, and that is tough for us to understand. Like, it's really, for most of us, particularly in Canada, mm-hmm. that's just something that we've never experienced.
Yeah.
We may not understand that, but God does.
Mm.
People we would consider evil, hurtful, or wicked, God can still forgive. He still paid the price for their sins. He still loves them and wants a relationship with them.
Man, that's hard to wrap my head around.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember there was a time when I was younger and I felt most of what I was doing was not honoring to God really in any way. There was shame associated with my actions and my behavior, and there was even shame just associated with the idea of starting a relationship with him. I was like, there is no way.
Mm. You know, unfortunately, a lot of people feel that way.
Mm.
They feel shame, fear, and that scares them enough to not seek or recognize God.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I remember the feelings of shame that I had, knowing the wrongs that I had been living in. But I also remember when giving my life to Christ, that I never felt as though he didn't love me. Those things didn't go away. They didn't change overnight. But I never felt as though God or Jesus was judging me or holding those things against me. I still very much felt the love.
Yeah. And you know what? It's because God still loves us in all of our mess, just the way we are, that makes it so amazing and makes a relationship even possible. We are by nature sinful and broken people.
Yeah. So jumping back to Saul, the first verse in chapter 9 says this. It says, "Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples." Murderous threats.
Yeah, murderous threats. I don't know if you could emphasize that enough. Murderous threats. It's crazy. He was real serious about destroying the followers of Jesus.
Yeah, and I mean, this would have been shortly after the time of Jesus' death. We would have seen Jesus, you know, crucified and resurrected and all of this. His disciples would have been going around preaching about his death and resurrection. They also would have been healing people and leading people into a relationship with God.
You know, this would have scared and angered, you know, all this preaching and healing by the disciples, this would have scared and angered a lot of the leaders and rulers of the day, which then would have caused men like Saul to order death on these men. This is crazy. This is heavy yeah. stuff.
I mean, it would have scared them because of a shift in power. Yeah. They were worried about the people following the life of Jesus, the ideals of Jesus, rather than them. I mean, it's really heavy stuff to think that they would have ordered the death of those people. All the while, I mean, to think of the bravery of the disciples or just, you know, that they knew what they had to do.
Mm.
Maybe bravery isn't the right word, but they knew that there was a huge target on their back. They knew that people like Saul wanted them dead, but they also knew that the message of Jesus and God is so important that they did it anyway.
You know, that is incredible that they continued to preach and heal.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. But we see Saul heading to the town of Damascus. Now, we're going to need a sound effect here for light. I have no idea what you're going to bring us, Braden, but okay. It better be good, all right?
Sound effect for light. The thing
sound
that doesn't
effect
make,
for light.
The thing that doesn't make sound. Keep going. I'm ready.
Right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So we see Saul heading to the town of Damascus to bring people, Christians, in as prisoners. And as he is on his way, he is met by blinding light. Very good. That was the light that blinded Saul.
Yeah.
And
it's exactly what light sounds like.
And he was met by a voice from heaven.
Yeah, I mean, Saul probably and realistically was terrified and confused and falls down. And the voice then asks Saul why he is persecuting him. So bright light and then big booming voice asking why he is persecuting him.
It's terrifying. But Saul asks the voice who the voice is, and the voice answers back. Get this. If it wasn't already scary enough, get this. It's Jesus Christ, the one you have been persecuting.
That's like definition caught red-handed.
And how vulnerable are you? You're blind.
Yeah. I can't even imagine it. It's like, I have the picture of the helicopter with the spotlight, you know, and the man in the open field. There's nothing you can do at that point.
Yeah.
Someone's right above you. So Jesus then blinds Saul more permanently, takes away his sight, and then tells him to continue on to the city where then he'll be told what to do.
So even though we see Saul as a wicked and a wretched individual, God sees him differently. He sees him as a child. Someone who can still do work for the kingdom. In fact, he later in the story calls Saul his chosen instrument to proclaim his name. That's a ton of forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's a lot of forgiveness.
I mean, John, you spoke about you're the father of the two of us, or out of the two of us, and you spoke about earlier. I can only imagine when we think about God thinking of us as his children, the amount of forgiveness that is. Like, I don't think I understand that forgiveness fully yet, because I work with kids and I see them do bad things and I forgive them, but there's got to be something parental in you that relates to this part of the story.
Well, what's crazy about forgiveness is what I've understood as a 20-year-old, as a 10-year-old, it was mind-blowing, But now as a 40-year-old, it's even more mind-blowing. Mm. And I don't think that ever changes.
Right.
The amount of forgiveness. I think as a 60-year-old, as an 80-year-old, it'll still astound me,
yeah,
the amount of forgiveness that is available to us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's amazing. So finally we meet Saul in the town, blind and unable to really do much of anything. And then the Lord sends a man by the name of Ananias, who is told to find Saul, to heal Saul, and to fill him with the Holy Spirit, which Ananias struggles with. Mm. I mean, he would know Saul as a person who is murdering and persecuting Christians, but he still obeys God, and that's exactly what he does. He heals him, he finds him, and he fills him with the Holy Spirit.
It would have been terrifying to be sent to Saul, who was the one murdering and putting Christians in prison.
Exactly.
So even someone like Saul, who had been a murderer and a persecutor of Christians, is forgiven and loved by God.
Correct. I mean, it's easy to say and hard to wrap my brain around.
Mm.
As Ananias heals him, it says he immediately goes to be baptized and was filled with the Holy Spirit. We see the change in him. We see the physical change. He goes, he walks out right away to get baptized. And we see the miracle that a relationship with God is. The change in Saul.
Yeah.
It's a pretty quick 180.
Yeah. And even the hardest of hearts, mm-hmm, can be transformed.
And honestly, Saul's heart seems pretty much as hard as stone. I don't know if I would be able to forgive him in the way that God did.
You know, God would have to work on my heart to soften my heart so I can forgive and forgive well.
Yeah. I mean, I would need God to be with me in those moments.
Maybe transform my heart just as much as he's transformed Saul's.
Exactly. But I'm so grateful that God's grace covers all of us and is without limit.
Mm.
It's not just those who need forgiving, but it's those who are also doing the action.
So in that healing, Saul accepts a relationship with God. It begins. And eventually, we're going to see Saul go on to some very different things, very different actions,
mm-hmm,
than what we read in this chapter.
I mean, this is a whirlwind. He's blind. He's taken to a town. He's healed of that blindness. He's baptized, jumps 180, and is all of a sudden heading in a different direction, which is exactly what God can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing. I can't help but be grateful and so humble that God sees it through his eyes and not through the distorted view of our brokenness and our sin.
Well, you know, he knows that our nature is sinful, mm-hmm, and he chooses today to forgive us time and time again. It doesn't stop.
No, he really is good.
Mm.
And no one, not even Saul, this man who seemed pretty terrible, but God still reaches him. He finds him and he heals him, not just physically, but so much more.
What a great story.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's time for our growth tip, a way for each of us to grow in a relationship with Jesus. The growth tip for today is this. Make yourself a prayer wall. Have you ever made yourself a prayer wall, Braden?
No.
Let me tell you what a prayer wall, at least what I have in mind for a prayer wall,
okay,
would look like.
Walk me through it.
All right. It's a place where you can place your prayers to God on a little sticky note,
mm-hmm,
and it could be on your in your living room or a place where your family could use that prayer wall, or it could just be your own in your bedroom. Divide up your prayer wall with a few headings. So I like to have four headings: praises and thanks, confession, listening, and requests.
Mm.
Okay? So make those headings, make them nice, make them look cool, or just very utilitarian, whatever you think is best. And under each heading, write a little something on a sticky note and put it on the wall underneath. So I'll give you a few examples. For praises and thanks, I might write something like, Lord, thanks for my friend, Braden.
Yeah.
I like him. Or confession, I might write, Lord, forgive me for my bad attitude earlier this week.
Or a bad-attitude, as we like to call it.
My bad-attitude, that's right. And, you know, I treated my family poorly. Forgive me. And then listening. This one can seem a little bit tricky, and I don't think it's as tricky as it actually is, but I write down things that God is impressing on me or onto my heart. It may be from scripture, a conversation with a friend or a family member, or simply a thought that I might have had that may be from God. So recently I heard that God wants me to rest. So I wrote on a sticky note, you are inviting me to rest. Finally, requests. I like to do this one last because I find that all of the other ones help shape my requests. So I wrote, teach me again, Lord, the basics of following you.
I think, you know, one thing that I would really like to do as well is maybe like somehow mark off the things that are answered or the prayers that are answered. That'd maybe cool. Move them to a specific cool. Thing. I can just imagine mine would be like all black and white, maybe some gray, maybe a little bit of cream. All the colors would go really nice together. Be very A-line, very stream. Anyway, okay, sorry, I got it.
Yeah, I know exactly. You would get lost in the design and...
I know. The stickies would all have to be a certain space apart and they would all have to be lined up. Okay, so... I would love for you guys, the listeners, to share with us your designs. So find us on Instagram or comment below or whatever. We're going to have an Instagram page ready and set up. And so you guys can comment and share your prayer walls with us and we can see all the cool designs. If you tag us in it at the Bible Story Podcast, we will then throw you a shout out on our page.
That'd be very cool.
Okay, John, before we get a bunch of people posting these, because I know they're going to... Would it not be awkward for the confession part if we're putting those on walls, say, in our living room where a bunch of people see?
I agree that it can be awkward confessing our sins to each other, but that's exactly what we are told to do in Scripture. I'll read James 5:16. It sheds some light on this. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results.
That's a great reminder. It lays it out pretty simply. Yeah, and I mean, it's something that we are called to do together.
So I would say this, you want to have some tact in how you phrase your prayers and specifically your confessions. So we want to be completely transparent on our confession. Mm-hmm. We also need to keep in mind that there'll be other people reading this wall. And so Balance your transparency with tact, okay?
That is great advice, John. So we'll take a video of it and post it on our Facebook and our Instagram for people to see, and then you guys can do the same and share it with us.
Hey, thanks guys for joining us. A reminder, tune in next week to hear Braden's announcements for our Summer Camp 2021 programming and the continuation of this story.
Woo, woo! You guys can't see, again, you're not viewers at this moment, but I am dancing in my chair for the announcement. I am super excited. Remember, if you guys find value in this podcast, if you like the stories, if you like our banter, whatever it might be, hit subscribe and share with a friend. Let's continue this the growth of this community and our relationships with God.
Hey guys, have a great week. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Bible Story Podcast. There is nothing more important than a growing relationship with Jesus. Share this with a friend and have a great discussion.